We're in Perek Aleph Pasuk Zayin.
I thought you said we had like one more thing to do at the end of Vav or something.
I don't remember that.
Neither do I. Mean, I kind of remember, but it might have been a different shir.
No, but we said we had something at the end of Pasuk Beis. That was two shirim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Vayemru isha ve'eihu. So each man says to his fellow man, isha ve'eihu. Lechuv and apila garalos. Let's cast lots. Take note of the fact that the word garalos is plural. V'neida, I will know. B'shalmi hara'azos. Shalmi. Who's responsible for this evil? Lanu. Vayapila garalos, and they cast lots. Yipal agarol al yayna, and a felon yayna. Yeah. All right, the Abba now. We'll start with the Abba now. The Abba now explains why they decided to cast lots. They're in trouble. They're davening. Now, what's the point of casting lots? They cast lots. He says, because they did this shtadlus, they threw everything off the boat. Now, when you do that, the boat weighs less, so then it descends, it sinks. You know, the level of the boat in relationship to the water rises. So that's what you know. That's what, you can use a boat as a scale. And you put in 1,000 pounds of weights. You make a mark there. You take the mark. You make another mark. And you can use a boat as a scale. When the weight within the boat lessens, so then it rises in the water. They threw off all the heavy things. They threw off everything except for themselves. And the boat remained at the same level in the water. That's Shalei Kedarcha Teva. It didn't rise. They davened. Davening works. I told you, even davening to Avodah Zarah works. It's Aser. Avodah Zarah is Chi of Misa. But it works. If davening to Avodah Zarah didn't work, then Avodah Zarah wouldn't be much of a threat. Wouldn't be much of a challenge to resist Avodah Zarah. Davening works, and it didn't work. So the hishtadlus of Derech HaTeva didn't work. The hishtadlus of Lamala Midarech HaTeva, of appealing to a higher power, that didn't work. That's Hashkacha. That means the Kadosh Baruch Hu and his omnipotence is causing this for a reason. It's out of the norm. It's not a natural phenomenon. If it would be a natural phenomenon, then the boat would rise when they threw out the heavy things. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu did it, and they knew enough about the workings of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that there's a good possibility that there's an Avera. There's an Avera. There's some Avoin involved. Because otherwise their hishtadlus, their endeavors, and their tefillos would have had an effect. Some Avera. So they knew this even before they cast the lots. They knew this based on their knowledge and their experience, coupled with the events, the current events. It's just they weren't sure. It could be an Avera. Or the Abavina suggests another possibility. Every person has a time. When his time is up, he goes. And it could be it was just their misfortune to be on a boat. When a guy was slated to die, he was given, 83 years, 6 months, 5 days, and 12 hours. And they're on the boat when this guy has to go. He's got to go. It gives an insight. What's going on through their minds? So there's some kind of avera.
So why didn't they just daven to Hashem? So previously they didn't
daven to Hashem. Is not one of the options. It's not one of the options which they're going to avail themselves of at this point. They're still not there yet.
They didn't even give you a chance to daven.
They told him to
daven, and then they drew.
Well, they told him to daven to Hashem. At first they grilled him. We're going to see. They interrogated him. And after they found out what he's running from, then they really got scared. It's a very scary thing to be in a boat with Yonah. It's very scary to be in a boat in a storm with someone. I mean Yonah the Navi.
Oh,
to be in a boat with somebody that was commanded to go to Nineveh, and he's on a boat going the other direction. So there's a process. They're going through a process. In the previous psukim, they daven to Avodah Zarah. They prompted Yaina to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but only to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in conjunction with the Avodah Zarah. Now already they're starting to think that there's a degree of responsibility. Someone is responsible for it. And there's an accounting. So we're entering into the Tchum, into the area of Schar Va'anish. Who is it? Who is the one at fault? Now the pasuk says that they cast lots, plural. One, it seems that one would be sufficient. So the Abarbanel has one approach, and the Malbim has another approach. The Abarbanel says that the casting a lottery one time would not prove anything, because even a lottery that doesn't work, I put the word work in quotation marks, even a lottery which doesn't work, sometimes the lottery will fail. It has to fall. This is the Abarbanel. It's got to fall on somebody. They believed the lotteries worked. They had some kind of legitimacy, but it's not foolproof. Sometimes a lottery can be wrong. A lottery is not like Gilui of Hashem Har Sinai. If you just do it once, it's got to fall on someone. Someone has to pick out the piece of paper with the death mark on it, with the X or whatever. So it doesn't prove anything. So he said they did it multiple times. I don't know how many times. But for example, if you do it 10 times, and every single time Yaina pulls out the X, then that's a proof. So that's why they did it many times. The Malbim has a unique twist to this. It's a very similar Mahalach, but it's unique in its own way. That they were convinced that there's some degree of fault here. I'm saying, this is the stage there. There's some degree of fault. Is it the fault of one person? Is it the fault of all of them? They had a suffix. They didn't know who it was, and they also didn't know it was the fault of an individual or there's a common link between all of them. Perhaps they all have something in their past that they brought them together on this boat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. There could be 20 people that they all have something that they did that they deserve to die by drowning at sea, and Hashem will make them all come on the same boat. And they're all in the same boat, figuratively and literally. So if you just do the lottery once, see, even if it's legitimate, see, the Malbim says even if it is legitimate, even one time, but if it falls on one person, that doesn't decide or clarify the suffix if it's one person or everyone. It fell on one person. Maybe it's all their fault. Maybe it's two people. Maybe it's three out of the group. So if it falls on one person, of course it's going to fall on him because he's guilty, but he's not the only guilty one. But again, if you do it multiple times and it keeps falling on the same person, that's not only proof of guilt, that also vindicates everybody else. That's the Malbim's twist. That also vindicates everyone else, because you see, you don't just see that he's the guilty one, you see he's the only guilty one. Ishara Ehu. Who are the ones that cast lots? Ishara Ehu. You know, it's a very interesting place to start talking about them as man and Ishra Ehu. The phrase Ishra Ehu, the word Ehu, we translate as friend. I mean, that's good, that works, but Ehu means someone that you have something in common with. We're commanded to love our fellow man, Ehu Kamecha, as ourselves. That's mitzvah. It only extends from one Jew to another Jew. There is no command to love a Gentile. You treat him as a Ben Adam. He's a human being. He deserves respect because he has a Tzelem Elokim. Non-Jews are also created in the image of God. But you don't have to love him. Means you love somebody because he's you and you're him. Reacha means he's you and you're him. You see yourself in him, you see himself in you. Isha Re'ehu. We said in the previous pasuk that they each tried to dive into their gods individually, but then the captain of the boat, he asked Yaina to add Hashem into the pile. And they're diving, to all the gods as a group. So here you see this theme repeated in this pasuk. Ishra Ehu. Is that they are viewing themselves very much as a group, as one entity in the boat. That could be the explanation of why it says Ishra of Ehu. The Chuvin Apila Garolos. The pasuk says, "Veneda, what are we going to find out by casting the lots?" B'shami hara azayis. Shami. Who's the evil? We're going to find out who the evil is. We're going to find out who the evil is. So the Malbim says that they weren't sure that the lottery is going to point to the guilty person. See, I don't know the way lotteries work. I mean, the Malbim did. But they knew that the lottery would bring them along further in the quest for the guilty party. And there's the guilty party. It could point the fickle finger of fate at the guilty party. Or it could be that one of them possesses the knowledge of why this calamity is coming. So he might not be the guilty party, but he knows who it is or what it is. So that's why he says Bishalmi. Bishalmi is, we'll find out who it is by the lottery. We may not, the Malbim. Bishalmi. Bishalmi. Well, the lottery could end up on the actual Baal Avera, or it could end up on someone who knows who the Baal Avera is. Well, who knows what it is?
Who's Bishalmi?
Bishalmi. Belonging to who? Who does it mean belonging to who? No, the Gemara, there's a Gemara that brings a mice with David HaMelech. That David HaMelech descended to the earth beneath the Mizbeah. And there was like a piece of pottery on the ground, which he removed, and that actually was blocking the underground springs, the Tahaim, from coming up. And he removed it, and the Tahaim, the underground waters in the world, started coming up and flooding. And like the Gemara said, there was a danger of flooding the entire world, and David HaMelech was at a loss to know how to deal with it, how to stop it. So he made a cherem. He said, whoever knows how to stop this and doesn't come forth with the information is going to be put in a cherem. They're going to lose everything. See, and that Gemara is it's not our topic right now. But you see there's two ways to get out of a situation. One is to find the perpetrator or find the person with the information. Bishalmi is the one with the information.
of why it's happening and also how to fix it.
I really don't know. I'm sure that they would love to hear that too. Has there any bit of information? They're in the dark. I mean, any bit of information would be welcome at this point.
So what should it have said?
Who did it? So they say, whose is it? Show me who has it? Who is it? Who? Say, so who did it? Where the evil is? Yeah, or we'll find out where the source of evil is. The Malbim is extracting his commentary from the word me. That they want to know who. They'll find out who done it. Pasuk Ches, Vayemer Elav. So they tell Yaina. They still don't know. They don't know too much. They know very little. They told Yaina. Hagida Nolano, tell us. Ba'asher lemi harazos. That to who is this evil? Ba'asher lemi. Ma malachtecha. What do you do for a living?
So they came out on Yona.
Yes, that's the end. Yeah. Me'ayin tavoy. Where are you coming from now? Ma'artzecha. What's your country of origin? You know, your country of origin is one thing, and where you're coming from now is another thing. Me'ayza amata. What nation do you belong to? They're in the middle of a storm. The boat's sinking. They're going to die. And they're conducting an interview. What do you do for a living? Where you come from? Where was your point of embarkation? Very strange. But before we start, I just want to point out that in this pasuk as well, you see, Ba'asher lemi, that to who? So the Malbim on this pasuk, he reiterates what he says on the previous pasuk. That there's two things that they wanted to know, or one of the two. Ba'asher is that, like, do you know what the Aver is? And Lami is, if you don't know exactly what it is, but do you know who would have that information? So you see, Ba'asher and Lami is that there were two things. Ba'asher and Lami. Ba'asher and Lami. Like, do you know what the Chet is? And if you don't know, do you know who, you know, who's the perpetrator, who's responsible, or where the blame lies? There's again, in this pasuk you have a machlekes between the Malbim and Abarbanel. Why they were grilling him? Why they were interrogating him? The Malbim says that they believed. That there's Sarim. The world is run by officers upon high. Like, you ever heard of Neptune or Trident?
Who's this explanation by?
This is the Malbim. The Neptune, Lord of the Sea, Trident, you know, you've got the Pitchfork, Pisces. They have different names for Avodah Zarah, but this is present in their mythology. There's a Lord over the sea. Avodah Zarah, its very roots started with Avodah Hashem, that they believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowered an officer to take charge of any matters concerning the sea. And just as one would give respect to the king, or give respect to the king's officers. But then it evolved to pure Avodah Zarah. So they believe in this officer of the sea, this non-physical, this spiritual kayach. So he's in charge of the upkeep and maintenance of the sea. And they believe that he doesn't, you know, that he has likes and dislikes. They believed that there's certain craftsmen, people that are engaged in certain livelihoods, he doesn't like them. I don't know, maybe he doesn't like people that work in a tuna processing plant. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't like people that they have a pizzeria because they put anchovies on top of the pizza. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't like the Morton Salt Company.
So they're trying to see if he fit any of the categories the Tsar of the Sea doesn't like.
So, yes, so that's what they're saying. They're saying, you know, there's certain countries he doesn't like. He doesn't like Idaho, because there's no water in Idaho. I don't know. Like
no one really likes Idaho.
What?
No one likes Idaho.
They have good potatoes.
My bad.
No, he doesn't like there's certain places, certain nations. So they'll be asking him all these things because perhaps there's something about your source of livelihood he doesn't like. Perhaps about the nation you belong to, the place you departed from, the way you live, what you do for a living. They're trying to nail it down. Now you'll notice that they're avoiding, according to Malbim, none of the questions have anything to do with personal liability. They didn't ask him if he did anything wrong. They asked him about things beyond his control. Like, what do you want the guy to do? The Barber now has a totally different line in the Pasuk, a totally different mahal. First of all, the Baal Brunel has a different interpretation of the words Ba'asher and Lami. I'll repeat the Malbim. The Malbim says Ba'asher is perhaps you're the one that did the chet, and Lami is, do you know who it is? The Baal Brunel says Ba'asher is the chet. And then the Baal Brunel says there's another component to a chet. You know, if a rich guy goes over to a poor guy and smacks him in the face, it's wrong. It's evil. But the magnitude of the chet is diminished by the fact that the poor guy is in this, you know, his class that he finds himself in, it happens to him. They get smacked up. Beggars get smacked. It's wrong. It's evil. It could be on this, you know, on a level of evil, it's very high up there on the level of evil. But he's used to it. You know, you didn't take away his dignity because he doesn't have dignity, or he doesn't have very much. I'm just saying relatively. Of course you take away his dignity. I'm just saying relatively. Relatively. He walks around here, he has torn clothing, he's dirty, you know. He doesn't have anything. So, you know, the magnitude, again, of the crime is diminished. If somebody walks over to a king and smacks him in the face, the same action with the same amount of force, it's a much greater offense. Because you did more than just slap him in the face, which is wrong. You also took a king whose covet is the pinnacle. It's the top of the mountain. And you treated him like a common beggar, so you didn't just smack him in the face. So Abba Benel said they wanted him to do two things. Ba'asher is what's the chet, and Lami is who'd you do it to. Lami. So he defines the word Lami as Lami to who? Who'd you do it to? Lami. The Malbim says Lami is maybe you know who's the criminal, who's the perpetrator. Abba Brunel says Lami is who'd you do it to.
The Malbim says Ba'asher.
Ba'asher is
done it.
Is made, did you do it? And Lami is, if you didn't do it, do you know who did? The Abhavinon goes on to define, to expound on each one of these questions. They asked him what he did for a living. Why they asked him that? Because they suspected that he's a priest.
This is the Barbanel still?
This is the Barbanel. They suspected that he's a priest. A priest for idolatry. Perhaps a rival belief to that of the god of the sea. No, I shouldn't say that. He doesn't say that it's because they suspected that he's angering the God of the sea. It's much from the Bible now that they suspect he's angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're Kayan Avodah Zarah, priest of Avodah Zarah, so that's going to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's much from the Bible now that they realized that this isn't coming from a jealous God of the sea, this is from Hashem. So maybe a Kayan Avodah Zarah. And Hashem, hates them. Hashem hates Kehanim from Pardesara. They asked him, Ayin Tava, where do you come from? So Barbanel says, that was not a geographical question. But Ayin Tava is, what is your ancestry? Where do you come from? Is, what's your yichus? They're asking if his parents were Rishayim. What are his origins? Man, top is, where did you come? Your parents were Shoyim. When they asked him, Artzacha, what's your land? This is a very interesting one. They asked him if perhaps during a Shemitah year, he didn't keep the laws of Shemitah.
What? But they didn't know he was a Jew yet.
It sounds like they figured this out. From the Barber now.
In the original questions, it doesn't seem like that. If you're a priest for idols.
A Jewish priest for idols. Yeah, that would anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were Jewish priests for idols. Ma'artzacha, where does he get that from? Because they ask him, Ma'artzacha literally means, what about your land? So the Barber now explains, what about your land? Means they were asking him, he kept the halachas of the land.
Also true in Meister.
Yeah, so among other things, we'd have to understand why he singles out Shemitah over Truman Meister. It's like, he didn't, why?
Maybe it was a Shemitah year.
Maybe not.
Well, we can count.
There's something about Shemitah. There's something about Shemitah. There's obviously a connection. There's something about Shemitah that would cause HaKadosh Baruch to make him go down on a boat.
Is he buried in the ground?
Hey, that's good. That was good. The ground can't take. That was very good. Excellent, Rabbi Yisrael Dave. When he asked him, Amata, which nation are you from? So Barbanel, so they weren't just asking him to identify his nation. They were saying, maybe you committed a sin against your nation. Perhaps you committed a sin against your nation. Pasuk Tes, Vayem Aleihem, and he answered them, Ivri Anochi, I'm an Ivri.
Then the Shemitah doesn't make sense. They didn't know.
Why? Because you're saying Ivri Anochi means he's Jewish?
Yeah.
Wait. We didn't say what Ivri meant. Ivri Anochi. Vas Hashem Elokei Hashamayim Ani Yarei. And Hashem, the God of the heavens, I fear. Asher Asa Es Hayam. He made the sea. The Esayabasha and the dry land. He didn't answer the questions. They asked him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 questions.
One answer.
They asked him 5 questions. They asked him, according to the Marvel 6, did you do it? Do you know who did to it? Do you know who did it? What do you do for a living? Where do you come from? What's your land? What's your nation? They asked him 5 questions.
Didn't give him time to answer.
Mom said he answered all the questions. What was their fear according to the Malvin? We're going to go to Shita Sayim. What was their fear according to the Malvin? That there's the God of the sea, Neptune, Trident, Pluto, I don't know.
They said they knew it was Hashem.
Abavinal, it sounds from the words that Abavinal they knew, but from the Mav not. I said there's a machlekes between the Mav and the Abavinal. According to the Mav, they didn't have a clue. They were fishing. They thought that he angered the god of the sea. One of the questions was, perhaps the place where you come from is a place that the god of the sea holds in his favor. Maybe he just doesn't like Las Vegas or something like that.
Probably doesn't.
Well, he probably lost a lot of money the last time he went, so he doesn't like Las Vegas. So he said, Ivri, I'm an Ivri. Ivri means I'm a Jew. So the Malva says the word Ivri is I'm a Jew. And the Jews live by the seashore. Zvulun lives by the seashore. Remember we said that was one of the opinions that Yonah was a descendant of Zvulun. So according to that opinion, certainly there wouldn't... He was telling them, according to that opinion, they used some shaved Zvulun. The Jews live by the sea. I grew up my whole life by the sea. And I never had a problem before. So the god of the sea is nothing against the Jewish people. They live side by side. They live in peace with him. So that's not it. So, you know, neither may... And Jews always go on boats. Jews travel on boats. We're not a nation that's landlocked. We go in boats. What do I do for a living? So the mom says, when Yonah said, "Es Hashem ani yare," I fear Hashem. He wasn't making a declaration of faith. Hashem lekei shemayim, and he wasn't making a declaration of faith. He was telling him what he does for a living. My occupation, you know what I do for a living? Some people are plumbers. Some people are electricians. Some people are orers. My occupation is I fear God.
Can you repeat the second to last one?
No. My occupation is I fear God. What does that mean? The mom says it's another way of saying I'm a Navi. When he said I fear God, he's answering the question. I'm a Navi. No, the Navi is not going to hate or have hold any hostility against the Navi of Hashem. And you know why? Because Hashem made the sea. So the sea, which was, you know, was created by Hashem, so the Tsar, the officer of the sea, is not going to be hostile against Hashem's Navi. They're on the same team. It's, you know.
Unless he did something wrong, like in this case.
Yeah, well, see, the question when they asked him what he did for a living is perhaps what you did for a living is causing this. And he said that's not what's causing it. What is causing it is because he did something wrong. But you know, he's answering the question. He's saying, no, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, and it's not this. So it's not my occupation, it's not, you know, my origins, it's not my land. It's not from which nation I come from. All those things check off. We live near the sea. We travel on the sea. I'm Jewish. I'm a Navi. So according to the Malbim, that's why he mentions at the end of the Pasuk that Hashem made the sea and the dry land. Why does he make mention of that? Because he said, there can't be that this storm is coming because the Tsar of the sea is trying to wipe me out because of who I am or what I do. Hashem made the sea. That's the mom. The Babinel also explains this possibly according to his view. But his view is that they were trying to get out of him. You know, what he did wrong to Hashem. Is he an idol worshiper? Is he a priest for idolatry? His parents are wicked. You didn't keep Shemitah. You know, like what? You know, they're trying to find out what it did wrong. The Bible says the word Ivri does not mean Jew. The word Ivri means to transgress or to violate. A transgressor in Lashon Kodesh is called an Avayan. He violates. To be over and aver. You ever the expression to be over and aver? Well, you have now. To be over and aver. Ivri Anaychi means I'm a transgressor. I violated the mitzvah of Hashem. And that's what I did wrong. So according to the Bava Vinyan, he's answering the first question. Who's the one that's guilty and what did he do? He said, I'm guilty. I did it. According to the Malvim, he's telling them what it's not. It's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. But he's not telling them what it is.
This is the Barbanel
now? According to Barbanel, is telling you what it is. Ivri Anaychi, I'm guilty. Guilty is charged. When Yena says in the Pasuk, it's Hashem Elokei Shamayim and Yare, he's not telling them his occupation. I'm a God-fearer. That's the Malbim. The Malbim says, when he says, I fear God, he's saying, that's what I do for a living. The Barbanel says, when he says, Hashem Elokei Hashem Amani Yare, it means I'm scared. The words of the Pasuk take on a totally different meaning, according to Barbanel. I'm scared. I did an Avera, and I'm scared because I'm going to get it.
Doesn't that just answer Bashir Lamy?
Well, that you don't need to answer the rest of it. It's not Shemitah. It's not because my parents are wicked. It's not, no, you know.
What is he saying?
He's answering all the questions.
Lemi, to who? Hashem.
Lemi is Hashem, yes.
So that's what Ani Yoreh
right.
Hashem is answering.
Right. Perfect. That was very good. Very, very good. Very well said. He's answering what it was. He's answering to who it's to. He's telling him it's not because he's a Kohen Levi Dezar. He's not a Kohen Levi Dezar. He kept Shemitah. His parents are not Rishayim. He didn't sin against his nation either.
Opposite.
What?
It's the opposite. It's just the opposite.
He said, he told them, he said, you missed the boat, and don't you wish that you missed this one? They caught the wrong boat. You missed the boat. So according to the Barbanel, they knew everything. And according to the Malbim, they still knew nothing. So the Machlokes. What they knew and what they didn't know. And according to Abimelech, he's telling them, you don't have to be scared of any of the gods or any of the officers on high, because that's not where this is coming from. It's coming directly from Hashem. Because why do you say this on Muna that come through with this? Because you're dealing with people that don't believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu interacts directly with this world. I'll paraphrase them. That Hashem doesn't care enough to punish one person because of his sin. Hashem's not going to make a miracle. You know, here they saw that there's miracles. They're surrounded by miracles. I mean, terrible miracles, but miracles nonetheless. The Sidri HaTeva are being changed. Why? Because he sinned against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Chizuk Emunah. Amidst the terrible events that they were undergoing, the calamitous events, but it was a sharp wake-up call that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is active in this world to the very small, to the smallest of details. Yes, he does care. Yes, he does know, and he does care, and he does act. You know, so Hashem knows about it. Hashem passes judgment, and Hashem carries out a sentence. These are all you say to Samuna. Hashkacha, Mishpat. And they saw it. They didn't just read it in the Musa book. Pasuk Yud. Vayiru ha'anashim yira gedayla. They were afraid. They were afraid of great fear. They were filled with a great fear. Vayim elav, and they told Yena, Mazay sasisa, what is it that you did? What did you do? Ki yadu anashim, because they knew, ki mufnei Hashem hu bareach, he's running away from Hashem. Ki higid lahem, because he told them. You know, the beginning of this pasuk doesn't work out so well with the end of the pasuk. They asked them, what'd you do? You know, like the Malbim, it's perfect. Let's start with the Malbim, okay? The way you read the pasuk according to the Malbim is they feared a great fear. And they said, okay, we know what you didn't do. You're not a kohen. You're not a, you know, you don't have an occupation that the Tsar of the Yam detests. You don't come from a country that he can't stand. You don't come from, you know, all that stuff. So we know the negative. We know all the things that are not. So what'd you do? Obviously it's something that you did. What did you do? So the mom will learn, man, you know, Mazasisa, so what is it that you did? And then he told them. And that's the rest of the pasuk. Ki yadu anashim, according to the Malbim, has to be read, so then they finally knew. Ki yadu, you have to say they finally knew. You have to stick in the word finally. They finally knew. Ki mufnei Hashem ubareach, that he's running away from Hashem. Ki higid lahem, because he told them. When did he tell them? Right now. So according to the Malbim, they're asking him what he did. And then the pasuk says, and now they knew because he told them. Now, in this pasuk. So he told them in pasuk Yud. But according to the Bar Benal, he already told them in pasuk Tes. He told them he's running away from Hashem. He told them he's an Avayim. He told them he's afraid of getting punished. So why'd they ask him what he did? They know already. So Bar Benal learns. I mean, the Bar Benal himself asked this question on himself. The Bar Benal learns, Mazay Sasisa doesn't mean, what is it that you did? Because they knew already. Mazay Sasisa means, Oi, give out! What did you do? It's not a question. It's an exclamation. What did you do? You did that? What did you do?
And then you got on our boat. That's not cool.
And of all the boats to pick, you had to pick our boat. Then the end of the pasuk is very smooth. The end of the pasuk is very smooth. Because the end of the pasuk is saying, because they already knew what he did, because he told them already in the previous pasuk. The dictic wise, it works out much better according to the Bar Benal. Because Yadu is Lashon Avar, which means previously. So censured him. What did you do? Why did you do that? Because they knew. They knew what he did wrong. The Mam on this pasuk comments on the repetition of the word Yira. It says Vayira Anashim, and they feared Yira Gdayla, a great fear. The Mam asks, what's the difference between fear and great fear? What was the difference between them, and what's the cause of them passing from one level to another? The mom says the fear is a fear of personal destruction. They were afraid that they're going to die. That's fear. Yira G'dayla, great fear, is something that takes hold of a person when he's in the... What? This is the mom. It's something that a person experiences when he's in the presence of greatness. For example, the Meraglim, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, they saw giants. Now the scale between the Meraglim and the giants was the scale between an ant and a person. Gives you some kind of idea of how big they were. Now there's a personal fear. Yeah, there's a sense of self, personal fear, that they're afraid that the giants will discover them and kill them, cause harm to them. And that's a personal fear. People are afraid of getting hurt. People are afraid of getting killed. But there's a fear which is beyond that. It's just a fear of being in the presence of something so big. You're overwhelmed. In English, it's called awe. It's awesome. It's awe-inspiring. It's related to the first fear. I mean, all fear comes from one root. It's a fear of extinction. A fear of not, that fear could manifest itself in many ways. You could have a fear of not being, of being chas v'shalom, of losing one's life, a fear of being injured. There's a fear of being irrelevant. That's a fear which many of us have. We have a fear of not being considered important. We have a fear of not mattering, just like anybody else. That's also a fear. It's all the same fear. The aside, the fundamental of all fears is a fear of a loss of self. That's the thing we fear the most, is that we're going to lose ourselves. Fear of the dark. The reason why we're afraid of the dark is not because it's after 10 o'clock at night and that's when the monsters come out. We're afraid of the dark because when you're in the dark, you can't see yourself. One of the senses, you're deprived of one of the senses. And when we see ourselves during the daytime, unconsciously, and sometimes consciously, we're reassuring ourselves that we're here. We could see ourselves. We're still here. We're still around. You look in the mirror. It gives you a feeling of presence. So fear of death fits into this. Fear of death is the ultimate physical loss of oneself. Being in the presence of something so big is also a fear. It's a fear. It's a fear. It's on a much higher level. That I feel insignificant. I feel like a little ant. And the Meraglim said it. They felt like ants. They didn't feel like ants because they're afraid of getting stepped on. They felt like ants because they felt that they're so insignificant. A Yid is not allowed to feel like that. A Yid was created by Tzelem Elokim. The world was created for a Yid. That was a chet. That was a chet. That was the chet of Meraglim. The Shevish, the roots of the chet of Meraglim, is that they felt that their existence is, compared to that of the giants, the dwellers of the promised land, Eretz Canaan, made them feel like they weren't a Ben Adam. They weren't a Ben Adam. Bugs. Yira G'dayla is that they're filled with awe. They're afraid they're going to die, but simultaneously they're filled with awe at the godless of a Kadosh Baruch
Hu. You mean they felt insignificant, or...?
They felt fear, yes. They felt they underwent the experience godless Hashem.
So does your feeling significant?
Does the feeling insignificant klape regarding Hashem is a good thing? That's the ultimate. That's Yirat Shamayim. Someone that's afraid because he doesn't want to go to Gehenna. That's a very low level of fear. That's called Yirat Ha'Einish. Yirat Shamayim is awe inspiring. The Rambam in different places. He has one place where he talks about Avos Hashem leading to Yiras Hashem, and another place he talks about Yiras Hashem leading to Avos Hashem. But he describes the process of Avos Hashem, but you gaze at God's wondrous Bria, creation. And you delve into the wonders of creation. And you see all the chesed Hashem did for us. Look at this beautiful world, this multifaceted, complex world. That it's tailor-made, there's nothing missing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much. And you realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you so much, he says you're filled with a tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a beloved father we have in Shemayim. Rama says, Miyad Nir Tel Acherav. Jumps back. Immediately, this is a natural progression from one emotion to the next. You thrust back because while you're focusing on the Ava, because of the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you suddenly become aware of how great he is and how insignificant you are, and you're filled with a tremendous fear. So Ava leads to Yira. Yira G'dayla.
What was that from?
Which from?
In the Ava led to Yira.
It's the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam. And they said to him, Ma nasalach, what can we do for you? V'yishtagayami aleinu, so that the sea will become silent from us. What can we do for you so that the sea should become silent from us? Like, we didn't do this, we're not involved in this, we want out of this story, we want to go into a different story. We want to exit from this book and go into another fairy tale. We run out of here. Okay, Yom Halak Messiah. The sea, it's getting progressively worse. Halak Messiah means that it was bad enough, but it wasn't static. It was progressing worse, exponentially getting worse. So, we have to understand what is it. What are they asking? What can we do for you? Were they offering a cup of tea? What can we do for you? What were they offering? No. So the mom says they were facing him with two choices. They can't stay where they are. They said, listen, there's two ways to go here. You tell us you got to give us some direction here. There's two ways to go here. They said, "Do you want to?" They said, "Would you consider doing tshuva?" Do tshuva, and we'll take you to Nineveh, or we'll take you towards Nineveh. Remember, they were going the opposite direction. They're going towards Tarshish, which we said was Tunis. So they're going southwest. And Nineveh is Assyria, which is east. But, they said, we have to get out of this storm. So, there's two ways we could do it. You could deal with this in two ways. One is, I guess it's the primary way, is for you to do tshuva. And we will volunteer to take you to Nineveh.
Is that like their tshuva? That they're realizing it's
not yet. Not yet. Almost. I'm saying that we got to the next stage. They want him to do tshuva. That is a madrega. But they're not doing anything. They're going to help him with his tshuva. We will aid and abet in your tshuva. And the other option they were giving him is maybe, you know, Hashem is angry because we're going to Tarshish, which is taking you away from Nineveh. They asked him, what if we just bring you back to Yafo? Back with you. And you know, you do what you got, you know, you do what you got to do. You do what you think is right. But we'll just take you back to where we started, and then we're out of here. So if you don't want to do tshuva, so maybe we'll get away with doing that. We'll go back to where we started from. So let's stop bringing him to Nineveh, but Hashem can't blame us if we just, you know, you got on a boat and it was a mistake. Obviously it was a mistake because we didn't do anything wrong. So we bring you back there. So that's how he understands the words by Nasaluk. What can we do? What can we do for you is, which way do you want to go? You want to do tshuva or you want to go back to the beginning?
Who is this?
This is the Malbim. The Abaganel has, again, his own way in this pasuk.
This did the they ever agree?
What?
Malbim and the Abaganel.
Not very often.
They're two completely different sides.
They probably wouldn't say it if they agree, yeah.
They stick to their guns.
The Abaganel says that they knew that if you have a boat full of people in a storm, and the storm is coming about because of one person, so you throw them overboard and it's all over. They didn't want to do this. They didn't want to do that. And we're going to see in the upcoming psukim, they would do anything in order not to have to do this. Even though they knew that with a 100% certainty that everything Yonah told them was true. First of all, he admitted it. And they had the Geroles. And they had all the signs and nothing that they tried worked. So they eliminated all the possibilities, all other possibilities. And he admitted that he did it. They didn't want to throw him over. But they didn't want to die. So, the Abarbanel said they were giving him a choice. They're saying, maybe if you took a shvua, they said, told you, it wasn't enough to do shvua. The Abarbanel says, maybe if you took a shvua that you're going to go to Nineveh, then it'll stop. You know, we'll take you to Tarshish, we'll go along a regular route, and we'll let you off in Tarshish, but the storm will stop because you're on the boat, you'll make a shvua that you're going to go to Nineveh. So Hashem will allow us to continue the journey. So that was, you know, best case scenario. Hashem will allow us to take you further away from Nineveh, because this was all a mistake. You know, we didn't bargain for this.
You don't read that, we'll bring you to Tarshish?
We'll bring you to Tarshish, but Hashem will allow us to bring you to Tarshish if you make a shvua that when you get to Tarshish, you go immediately to Nineveh. That's one way of doing things. So the Abarbanel opens up the possibilities for them continuing their voyage, the voyage to their planned destination. You go to Tarshish. Why did they think Hashem would allow that? Because you'll make a shvua.
Yeah, but God would know if he was serious about it or not.
No, you have to make yourself forced. The advantage of a shvua.
Oh, right, because even if.
You're making. And they said, if Hashem won't accept that. So then the next option is that we ourselves will take it in Nineveh, which is totally the other direction. So he did agree with the Malbim in the second shot. And Mishnah will continue tomorrow. Pasuk Yudbeis tomorrow.
Basically, they said we're going to force you to Nineveh.
Well, either you make a shvua that when we get to Tarshish, you'll go yourself, or we'll take you.
What does it mean, we'll take you? Does that mean we're going to, that means, okay, we're going to Nineveh
we'll
now.
We'll take you. Yeah, well, it's right, better with you than to force you. Take you.